Wayne and Scoffrey here to talk today about a new recording, Vortex, and about all of the things that allow him to, when he encounters the Vortex, to move through it in a creative fashion. Thank you for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To the ends of the earth, as interpreted or traveled by Wayne Escoffrey from the recording Vortex here at WBGO. Chatting with Wayne Escoffrey. New record, Vortex, comes out the 26th, and also that's the opening night of a three-night stay, 26th, 27th, 28th, at Smoke in New York City with his quartet. The quartet for the date is going to be...
It's basically the same. It's a little different because Ugonna couldn't make it. Ugonna Okewu couldn't make it, so I'm bringing in my friend Yasushi Nakamura, who's an amazing bassist.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Ralph Peterson will be there.
Right, yep.
And Dave Kirkoski will be there.
Sure will, yeah.
What's it like playing with David?
I love playing with Dave, man. I love his energy. I mean, he's one of those few people who manages, we were talking about earlier, about keeping that young, carefree, childlike spirit. And while he has an abundance of knowledge, he keeps that youthful spirit. And I like that energy when I play. I mean, I need that. I need someone pushing me to a little bit of the crazy side when I'm playing. Otherwise, you know, things can get stale.
It becomes too stock.
Yeah, and Dave is far from stock. I mean, he's always pushing the envelope and doing something a little bit wild. And it's actually a great balance because Ralph can go between that as well. You know, he's a very professional and a very wise player, but he can also bring out the wild side too. So it's a great having that balance between with those two.
Yeah, it's kind of and you kind of it allows things to have a collective form as well.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You talked about, you know, David's energy, you know, which is youthful to say the least. You know, I remember one day he was on air with me talking about one of his own recordings. And, you know, I went over here to do something, right? And the record had just started playing. And I turned back around and he was gone.
Well, he doesn't like to sit still. He's a pacer, man. He likes to pace and get the vibe.
We're
walk
live
around.
And he like disappeared. It's about magic. You know, Roy Haynes told me.
That's my man.
So I yelled at him and he had just like this.
Right.
Wanted to see what our record library
was. Well, that's what I mean, man. I mean, it's not even, you know, he just needs to get up and check it out.
And Ralph, man. Ralph, what an inventive rhythm maker. And it comes from, you know, his sense memory over the years, too. His approach to music in general is such that it's, you know, it's never... You know, it's never lock time.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It's always Ralph time.
Right.
And Ralph can also write a pretty fair chart. And on this new record, Vortex, that comes out the 26th of this month, you've chosen not one, but two. Right?
Of
Ralph's tunes?
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, the one, Acceptance, is his tune. And then Judgment, we kind of wrote together, kind of a free improvisation that we did together.
Yeah. Well, you say we listen to Acceptance.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, we're chatting with Wayne Escoffrey, the quartet, celebrating the recording Vortex on the 26th, which is the day, on January the 26th, which is the day this new Sunnyside record comes out. And then that night, and the 27th, and the 28th as well, at Smoke in New York City for three sets each night, 7, 9, and 10:30. Now, when you do three sets, you can tell that there's no singer. Because if it was a singer, there'd only be two sets.
Or you can tell that Ron Carter's not on the gig. Because when he's on the gig, there are no three sets.
Now, see, you brought up Ron Carter. Ron Carter's somebody that was really there for you at the beginning, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. He's been a great ally and become a good friend. Kind of like an uncle, you know. Whereas I consider Jackie McLean like my musical father, I consider Mr. Ron Carter like my uncle, you know.
Yeah, and you had the opportunity early on to you were almost recruited into the Hart School in Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I met my good friend Jimmy Green in high school, and you know, he told me about his studies with Jackie McLean, and and then he introduced me to J-Mac through the Artist Collective when I was in high school. And once I met J-Mac, he really, again, took me in and really insisted on me spending time with him at the Hart School, and that was the beginning of a really great thing. I mean, he really pretty much gave me my vision and my concept, my foundation for this music and what it means to respect what's been done before me and to push the music forward.
What did you learn from J-Mac that doesn't have to do with music?
Well, kind of like I just mentioned, I mean, I really learned what it meant to respect an older musician. I mean, because without words, he demanded so much respect. Just the way he walked, just the way he dressed, the way he presented himself, the way he talked about the music. We, all of us around him, had no choice but to show him the most respect and dignity that we could. And that stayed with me. And in many ways, that helped me through this music. I mean, when I met people like Jimmy Heath, when I met Ron Carter, when I met Benny Golson, you know, they all really appreciated my demeanor and what I was offering them, just as a young mind wanting to learn. And I learned just how to behave from Jackie McLean.
See, and you have, because you have that kind of experience with a good portion of the history of this music, you step aside from this music a couple of moves, and it's the same kind of teaching and thinking and relationship that it takes to be a good father, isn't it?
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Now, you're a father.
I am indeed.
Your son is how old?
He's 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you learned from him?
Unfortunately, I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about why, you know, this world isn't quite as, you know, easy as we wish it could be. Just, you know, when you have a kid, he reminds you of the good things about yourself and also the bad things about yourself. So yeah. I'm constantly being reminded, you know, I'll look at him and be like, man, why do you keep doing it? And I'm like, oh, well, he does it because that's what I do. You know, so that's definitely a hard lesson to learn.
Now, piece of music in here, In His Eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Inspired by
just the viewpoint of a 9-year-old on society.
Yeah. And all the things he must be thinking, and how glorious it must be when you think about how much of the vortex is passing right over his head at this moment.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. What'd you say your son's name was again?
Vaughn, named after Sarah Vaughn.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We're chatting with Wayne Escoffrey. The new record, Vortex, comes out on the 26th. The same night, he opens for three evenings at Smoke in New York City. And for his son, through his eyes, to your ears, in his eyes. Thank you. from the new recording Vortex. That's a piece written by our guest today, Wayne Escoffrey, and it's for his son Vaughn. It's called In His Eyes, and named after Sarah Vaughn. Why?
Because his mother, Carolyn Lenhart, is an awesome vocalist, and that's not the only reason. Actually, I kind of more had the idea of the name Vaughn, and she gravitated towards it.
So now, does he know
that he's named
the
after
Genesis
Sarah
of that name?
He does. He's not thrilled about being named after a woman because he's nine, but you know, he'll appreciate it later.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, look, there was this guy.
You're right.
Who played an incredible spy on a series.
Oh, you know what, though?
Mission Impossible.
Well, yeah, we were watching some of those things, too. And there was a guy, Michael Vaughn, on one of these shows, too. And that also was in my head, too. So
Yeah. Vortex, the record comes out on the 26th of January. And the appearance live, celebrating this music with this music. At Smoke in New York City, the 26th, 27th, and 28th. We're chatting with Wayne Escoffrey. Jeremy Pelt, I should mention that Jeremy was featured on that last piece of music that you heard that Wayne wrote through the eyes of his son, Vaughn. And the new recording is Vortex. For you, what's the Vortex, and what does it mean?
Well, you know, Vortex is kind of really the symbol of hatred and bigotry and just divisiveness that's really overtaken the country and in many ways started infecting the world in the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years. Really how that's affected my son and all of us. And that vortex is of that kind of polarity that all of... that polarity of hate and bigotry is something that we're all trying to avoid at all times. And when you have a child or you have loved ones that are less capable to handle that, it's kind of your job to guide them away from that. So that's what that vortex is symbolizing.
That's tough work, man.
It sure is, you know. But we, you know, you make those decisions early on that you're committed to it, and you just do it.
The title track of the new recording, coming out on Sunnyside from our guest today, saxophonist Wayne Escoffrey. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Gary. Appreciate it.
Been a pleasure.
from his latest recording, Vortex, on Sunnyside. Wayne Escoffrey plays during Restaurant Week here in New York City at Smoke, Jazz, and Supper Club beginning this Friday, January 26th through Sunday. Coming up next, the new flamenco queen, Buica, and her band joins us in studio, and she is nominated for a Grammy for her album Para Ti, speaking with WBGO's Bill Daughtry. That's up next. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner.